Hello, and welcome to today's episode of It Is Not a Small World After All. Today is our last episode, so we hope you really enjoy it. Today we'll be talking to Luis, who is from Venezuela, about a country that has been in the news a lot recently, and what we wanted to find out what the country was actually like. So we hope you really enjoy listening, and we hope you learn something.
Here's a little background information about Venezuela. According to the CIA World Factbook and Encyclopedia Britannica, Venezuela is a country located at the northern edge of South America. It is bordered by Colombia in the west, Brazil in the south, Guyana in the east, and the Caribbean Sea in the north. The climate is tropical throughout the country, except in the Venezuelan Andes, which have an alpine climate. The landscape is a mixture of tropical rainforest and highland or mountainous regions. Venezuela has a population of around 32 million people. Spanish is the official language. The capital and largest city is Caracas, with a population of around 2.1 million people. Other important cities include Maracaibo, Valencia, and Barquisimeto. Catholicism is the largest religion, with 96% of the country identifying as Catholic. Venezuela's economy is based primarily on oil drilling. Venezuela was once one of the most prosperous countries in South America, but is currently in economic collapse and political turmoil. Since the rise of Nicolas Maduro, inflation has skyrocketed, the economy has collapsed, many people are without basic necessities, and millions have left the country. The situation has shown no signs of improving.
All right, we will get to the interview now. We hope you enjoy listening, and we hope that you will learn something about what Venezuela is actually like beyond just the news stories.
Hi, I'm Mia from It's Not a Small World After All, and welcome to this episode. Today, we'll be talking about Venezuelan life and culture, and we're going to be interviewing Luis, who has lived in Venezuela, and he will tell us about Venezuelan life and culture. First of all, how long have you lived in Venezuela?
Hello, Mia. I have lived in Venezuela for 16 years and my whole life. I have been living in the U.S. for 1 year and a half. It means that, like, I'm going to study here. I have studied here for a year and a half.
What part of Venezuela did you live in?
I lived in Venezuela. That's the name of the city. Valencia, sorry. Valencia is the name of the city.
Are there any regional differences between the regions?
Yeah, sometimes, but what do you mean by regional differences?
Like, between northern Venezuela, southern.
Yeah, of course, like, every country, like, there is, like, different type of culture in all over the regions of Venezuela.
How is living in Venezuela different from living in America?
It depends on who you ask this question to, because sometimes some people in Venezuela, of course, have more privilege than others. And the people with privilege, like, I can hopefully say that I am someone that had privilege in Venezuela because of the work of my dad, of my parents. And my life was different than the real life that everybody else is living, or like the most of the people is living.
How was your life specifically in Venezuela different from your life in America?
The US? Okay. Like, I can say that it was, like, in terms of food and house and all that, it's the same. But in terms of security, of course, it is not the same. In Venezuela, we were, like, we had more risks to be, like, kidnapped, robbed, or all that. Like, the security here is way better than in Venezuela. And that's something that you have, like, your mind changes when you're here or when you're in Venezuela. In Venezuela, you never know if when you're safe. Like, you're never safe. So you have to always be aware of your surroundings and be careful, because you can always be killed or kidnapped or robbed. You know what I mean?
How does your experience compare to some of the other experiences that you have witnessed in Venezuela?
How is it different?
Yes.
In a lot of ways. For example, the most basic way is my family had food. I think 80% of the people in Venezuela right now, we even had like difficulties to get the food, but we had the chance to of course buy it. And some people doesn't have food, like they do not have food, they can't eat. They eat one time all day, or sometimes they don't eat. They go to bed without eating anything on the day. And another thing is that their privilege, like for example, education. My education was different than most of the other people, because of course I was in a private school, and that makes difference. Or the place where I lived, it was way different than it was different than the majority.
How was the place that you lived in different from
sort of, for example, we had like we had more security than the other people. We were like we had more more like the place where we lived, where I lived, it was like more secure, more safe than the other places, because we had to pay for private security, and we have to like organize, like all the neighbors had to organize their like in a group to make that neighbor better and safer. It means that, like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. What are some important aspects about Venezuelan culture?
In my opinion, the most important aspects of Venezuelan people is that the way, like, the people from Venezuela is in, like, emotionally, it's really good. Like, they are always happy. Whatever happens or whatever, they try to be always happy. They work a lot, and they have worked for more than 10 years in this dictatorship that we have right now to be someone in life. And they have, like, they have made really good efforts from, I don't know, 14 years or more than 14 years since Hugo Chavez went into power. He's a communist or socialist that started this movement in Venezuela that have ruined the country. Right now, it's pretty much ruined because of the government, and all the politically, it's super bad because of the government. And yeah, like, strong people, nice people, some, like, very, we have a lot of, like, professionals in Venezuela that cannot work what they study for because of the situation and economical situation. And some people have had to emigrate to our countries for example, to Colombia, Peru, or a lot of countries, because they cannot, like, do their, like, their, they cannot work in what they study for, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. How has people there that, you know how you said in Venezuela that people generally try to stay persistent and happy despite their struggles, how has that influenced you as a person?
In a lot of ways. That has influenced me, of course, because in life, you always have to, like, life, for me, for example, for me, life is a problem that I have to solve. And then this is another, like, this is something that helps me in fixing all the problems and in approaching things in a better way, in a positive way, in a better way, basically.
What was your daily life typically like in Venezuela?
Normal. Like, I went to school, came back to my house, hang out with friends, study, do sports. It was pretty normal.
How was it different from
the US?
Some of the other people that you have witnessed their lives, people less
the thing
privileged.
Is that the people that lived in poverty, I had the chance to share a lot of my time, like most of my time, with people that lived in poverty. So meaning that I learned values from them, of course, mm-hmm. and I because of that, I had the opportunity to see the world through other lenses, not just to my lenses or my social class lenses, but to other social class lenses. And it was, yeah, the life that some people has, it's really different than mine because they didn't have the same opportunities that I had.
How did you interact with the people that were poorer than you? Did you act?
Yeah, for example, the workers, the house workers, for example, the guy that cleaned the pool, or the guy that cut at the grass, like the gardener. Is that how you say it, gardener?
Yes.
Yeah. Or for example, the housekeeper, I had a chance to, like, interact with them, not just them, that I one time, me and some friends organize a organization, like we made an organization to help the people, and we went out and gave food to people, we helped the people, we gave some materials to work in school. I had a lot of interaction with other people. And another thing is that some of my family lived in poverty, and I had the chance to share with them most of my time and most of my childhood.
Has that influenced how you interacted with those that were less privileged than you?
Yeah. What was the question?
Has it influenced how you interacted with those that were less privileged with you than you, I mean? And has it motivated you to treat them as equals?
Yeah, of course. Like, it showed me how everyone is, like, that we are all the same. Sometimes one or the other have more opportunities or less opportunities, but we are all capable of everything. And with work and with, like, perseverance, and, like, if you if you keep working and do the right thing and try to always be the better person, you can get, like, you can win whatever you want, or you can what you give, it's pretty much what you get. And yeah, did the interaction of course help me like in looking at others as equal, because we are all equal.
What is the educational system like in Venezuela?
For example, I came here, of course, to the U.S. because the educational system was going down, was failing. Like, it was not that, like, it was going from good to bad. Like, it was going down, 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 down. And in my opinion, a lot of schools in Venezuela are like really, really, really nice schools. For example, the universities are really good. Everything is really good. The thing is that economically, the country now is super bad because of the government. And because of that, the teachers don't have money to pay, like food, don't have money to pay anything. And that causes them to not work in teaching, and then the teachers that not all of them, like some of the teachers that are working right now as teachers are not like not that good. So it means that the system, like the government, because of the economic issues, caused the teachers to not work. So sometimes it means like without teachers, there's no education.
Is there any differences between the teachers not working at institutions such as private schools, like you said?
Yeah, it is a difference. It is a difference. The teachers from public schools are, it's worse than the private school, than the teachers from the private schools. Of course, the teachers from the private schools, they get more money than the teachers of the public schools.
How is the Venezuelan public school system different from the Venezuelan private school system?
That's a question that I could answer, but I'm not completely sure if I'm going to give you a right answer, because I haven't experienced the life in a public school. What I have heard is that it is, like, compared to private schools, like, in Venezuela, most of the people study in private schools, no matter the social level. But some people study, of course, in public schools, and they do not have like the enough materials. They do not have the things that they need to actually stay in the classroom, or like they do not have the necessary things or the essential things that they need, because the government is not giving them the enough importance.
How is the Venezuelan educational system different from what you have experienced in America with regards to education?
Of course, if you compare a normal education system with a Waldorf education system, of course, like of course it's going to be way different. But in between public schools in the U.S. or like normal schools in the U.S. and Venezuela, in my opinion, is the same. In my school, in the private school that I went to.
Oh. In Venezuela, how diverse was it where you lived?
How what?
Diverse was it.
You mean from people to our, from our countries?
Yes.
It was really diverse, because I lived in a place where a lot of people... For example, yeah, it was really diverse. Venezuela has been a really diverse country since the beginning. We have had Italians, people, Spanish people from Spain, all over. Like, yeah, it's really diverse.
How often were you exposed to other cultures while you lived there? And this includes things such as learning a foreign language, exposure to music from other countries, I mean, etc.
Yeah. A bit like the same as here. Exposure to other cultures was the same. The thing is that in Venezuela, everybody likes to see everybody as equal. Mm. And we don't really have you're from our culture and you're different. No, everybody's the same and we all created a culture. We all have our own culture and that culture involves all the cultures inside of it. You know, we don't identify each other as different or you're from our culture or I know it's not bad, but we prefer to not we do have, of course, we have the same exposure as here to our cultures.
Oh. In America, it's not the same way in terms of viewing others as equals, since there are people that always.
For example, in Venezuela, the difference in between a white person and a black person, there's no difference. It's not like here, you know? And we have had a lot of course, the Spanish people put the black people in slavery. And we do have history in between those two phrases, meaning that that we could be the same as here in the US, but it is not the same. We do not care about the color of someone. We are all one, and that's it. And we have not problems in between races, or there's nothing like that.
How do you think Venezuela has been portrayed in the media?
In the US?
Yes, American media.
In my opinion, what I have read and what I have seen, it's actually really good. Why? Because President Donald Trump right now is today and yesterday he has been one of the first countries. He has been the U.S. has been the country that has given Venezuela the most support in their independence that is happening right now, because we are trying to take out the dictator that it's right now there, and the U.S. is helping, and the U.S. is of course showing the people, giving the opposition, giving help to the actual people in Venezuela, to Venezuela.
Do you think that the media's point of view of Venezuela is in any way wrong or oversimplified?
In my opinion, right now, what I have seen in the media, it's what it really is happening in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be simplified, but not because they are not showing the situation worse. They're making it look better, but it's worse than what they think or what they have showed in the media.
Oh.
For example, I was reading an article today that said that yesterday in the people that was marching against the government, that 8 people died, and that's not a true fact. The people that died, it was more than 18 people yesterday in one day. more than 18 people that were marching in Venezuela, and then the government was shooting at them.
Mm. Are there any things that you miss about living in Venezuela?
Yeah, everything. Like the people, my family, my house, the culture for me, I don't know why, it's a really nice culture. If somebody, like everybody, I think every single person in the world that I have known that knows the culture from Venezuela, they love it because it's a different culture.
On a lighter note, what holidays are commonly celebrated in Venezuela?
Christmas. There is one holiday, it's called Carnival, I think. Yeah, Carnival. New Year's. I don't know how to say it. It says there is a week that is the Holy Week or like Saint Week. Yeah, something.
What is Carnival?
It's like where everybody goes out to streets and play like with water and stuff and with balloons. Mm.
What are popular pastimes in Venezuela?
Pastimes?
As in, what do people generally like to do? As in, what do a lot of people like to do?
Right now, the pastimes are work. And, like, what do you mean? Like, their hobbies?
Like, what are popular hobbies?
In Venezuela?
Yes.
Or sports and stuff?
Yes.
Like, football, soccer, baseball.
I notice in holidays that are celebrated here and some popular sports, I noticed that there are some similarities, a lot of similarities between the two.
Yeah, for example, there is a Venezuelan, the best player in the U.S. right now, it's a Venezuelan player for soccer. And he actually plays in the Atlanta United team.
That's cool. Finally, how do you think that living in Venezuela has shaped you into the person that you are today?
How do I think it has affected me?
Yes.
In every single way. Sometimes, like, all the values that I have, all the knowledge that I have learned, all the respect and like, ways in which I can look to the others and in which I can look to myself. It has changed me in every way, like everything, morality, politics, economically, in every single way. And it has shaped me in my opinion, in a positive way because of all the opportunities that I had in Venezuela and all the opportunities that I'm having right now to come into another country to acquire knowledge, and after I hope I can go back to my country. Of course I am going to go back to make a change and make a difference and help rebuild it.
All right, that is our episode of It's Not a Small World After All. Luis, it was so nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
And goodbye.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. As I said before, it is our last episode. So thank you for listening to all of our earlier episodes. If you have not yet listened to any of our earlier episodes, or if you've missed one, be sure to go back and check it out. We've done Norway, we've done Sierra Leone, we've done Argentina, we did South Africa, we had a bonus episode on Switzerland, and now today's episode. And we've learned a lot over the course of doing this podcast, and we hope you have learned something too. So thanks for listening, and goodbye.